Handling harmful character deficiencies in leaders. Our verse is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, section C. That section reads, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." This Christmas season, many leaders are marked by harmful character deficiencies. Harmful character deficiencies exist in the leaders of our federal health agencies. The sweeping 520-page report released recently by the U.S. House Select Committee on the Coronavirus Pandemic revealed that millions of people were killed by and billions of dollars were spent to mitigate the effects of a virus whose likely origin was covered up solely for the benefit of well-compensated and unduly venerated federal employees. Harmful character deficiencies exist in leaders throughout our financial system. An essay by John H. Cochrane and Amit Saru of the Hoover Institution titled "Ending Bailouts at Last" in the Journal of Law, Economics, and Policy explained how leverage has been rewarded. If you saved and bought a house with cash, or if you saved and went to a cheaper college rather than take out a big student loan, or if you repaid that loan promptly, you did not get any money. In today's permanent central bank run credit system, borrow. Borrow especially if you are big or part of a big and politically influential class of borrowers. As with student loans, borrow from the government. You might not have to pay it back. Societies get what they incentivize. Moral hazards, incentives for perverse, risky behaviors are now sown throughout American life. Cumulatively, they might break the government. This is an article by George Will. Harmful character deficiencies exist in leaders in the legacy media. There is about to be an outbreak of lawlessness in the United States, and Democrats in the press can't handle it. President-elect Donald Trump's talk of mass deportation is being treated as a clear and present danger to the American order that blue jurisdictions need to mobilize to stop. It is a symptom of how perverse the immigration debate has become that it is treated as the norm to allow millions of people to defy our laws, but it's a five-alarm fire if an incoming U.S. president vows to get serious about enforcing those same laws. Harmful character deficiencies exist in many elected officials at all levels. On November 5, in California's congressional races, a look at the re-elected individuals show a sorry assortment of unindicted felons, powerful, craved subversives and anti-American worker proponents, and fervently pro-illegal immigration advocates. For example, Nancy Pelosi won her 20th term representing California's 11th congressional district with 81% of the vote. The 11th is mostly San Francisco, now recognized for rampant smash-and-grab robberies and widespread homelessness, an ideal municipality for Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua to set up shop, where since 2019, 47% of businesses in the area have shut their doors, and residents, especially among the high-wage-earning Generation Zers, have fled. Harmful character deficiencies in leaders in many business organizations is a big problem as well. Mary Croissant had an article, "Lessons from Boeing on Elevating Character Alongside Competence," in December 5, Forbes, reported on the leadership on trial study that was supported by the Ivy Business School, and she noted it revealed that leadership failures in many organizations was the result of weakness of character, more so than competence. In fact, some of the greatest problems arose from strong competence but weak character. It's interesting, we have a number of men in our church who either run their own businesses or are involved in hiring and firing people under them. And many times they've indicated to me that some of the biggest challenges they face is character. Character in regards to, sometimes it's with the customers, sometimes it's character in regards to employees. It's an ongoing challenge. So the need section is, so we ask this Christmas, how does God want us to handle harmful character deficiencies in leaders? In Isaiah's day, harmful character deficiencies in his people's leaders led to big troubles for the people. The kingdom of Judah lacked a king who brought them peace. They were threatened by an invasion by the Israel-Aramea Alliance and by an invasion from the Assyrian Empire. This is in Isaiah chapter 7, 1 and 2, and Isaiah chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Judah's king was himself terribly insecure. News of a planned invasion by Israel and Aramea terrified him and Judah's people, their hearts being moved like the trees of the forest in a strong wind, according to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. God's rulers and people were desperate for military protection. Israel sought the protection of Assyria, according to Hosea chapter 5, verse 13. And Judah turned to Egypt for protection, according to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Judah's people were crushed in heart by a lack of edifying insight from their rulers. Instead of being led by their kings to gain edifying insight from Scripture, according to Isaiah 8:20, they turned to mediums and spiritists, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, ending up being frustrated and sinking into spiritual darkness and the hopeless gloom of depression. It's interesting, in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, it talks about the effects of people who are cavorting with demons and mediums. There's an ad that is on the radio right now about mediums in California, where people can get a hold of them, and that's just nothing. It's a demonic activity, and it's very harmful. Well, these harmful character deficiencies in the rulers would be overcome by Messiah's character, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Opposite the lack of edifying insight of the rulers, Messiah would be his people's marvel of a counselor. I know that in the King James Version it says wonderful counselor, but the Hebrew word for wonderful there is pele, and it means extraordinary or marvel or wonder. So the Messiah would be a marvel of a counselor. For Judah's people who are crushed in heart by a lack of edifying insight from their rulers, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be a marvel of a counselor who addressed all the spiritual troubles of his people. The Bible tells us that in the Messianic kingdom that is to come, people will throng towards Jerusalem to be taught by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's sitting on the throne, just like they throng to Jerusalem to hear the great wisdom that Solomon had. And of course, Jesus is greater than Solomon. But people will come and they'll beat their plowshares and swords, their swords and their plowshares, swords into the plowshares, their spears into pruning hicks, and there will be tremendous peace worldwide. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be counseling people. Opposite the lack of military protection under their rulers, Messiah would be his people's mighty God. The only other place where the term mighty God, El Gabor in the Hebrew, appears in Isaiah is in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21, where God predicted that his Hebrew people would no longer rely on Gentile empires like Israel relied on Syria for protection, only to see that nation smite them in war, but upon El Gabor, the mighty God, who would reliably protect them. El is the shortened form for Elohim, which is a name for God. Gabor is used of a man who is a warrior, who's a man who's in the prime of his life, and he's a warrior, and as a warrior, he goes out and he protects and he fights for his people. So Messiah Jesus Christ would thus be his people's mighty God of reliable military protection. Then opposite the lack of personal security in their rulers, Messiah would be his people's father of perpetuity. I know this term Ed is rendered everlasting, and it modifies the noun father, and it translates the Hebrew substantive od, meaning continuance or persistence. Many people have thought that everlasting father refers to God the Father, but that would be a form of theological error known as modalistic Sabellianism, where the Son is the Father. He's not talking about God the Father in this verse at all. It does not mean God the Father, but that Jesus has always been and always will be a reliable father figure in place of his people's insecure leaders. When Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on March 30th, 33 AD, AD 33, he made a very interesting statement. He said, he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would have I gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings?" What was he talking about? He was talking about throughout Israel's Old Testament history, Jesus Christ was always there. He was always willing to protect, always willing to help the people of Israel. He's been there from the very beginning. And so Jesus Christ will be seen once again as the Father of perpetuity. He's been there all along. Israel didn't know it, but he's been there all along. And then opposite the lack of peace under Judah's ungodly king's Messiah, Jesus would rule as the Prince of Peace. It's interesting that the word prince is used. Sometimes the word prince means commander or prince. I think a better meaning here is prince, because a prince is someone who's going to be a king. And it talks about a tremendous future. And of course, Jesus' kingdom is going to be an everlasting king that will never go away. Well, these character qualities of the Messiah would be the product of the Holy Spirit within him. If I skip ahead to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we read about this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. These seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit incidentally happen to match the needs of the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 in order. So it's a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God throughout church history. Right now, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord and the respect for the Lord is what is being applied to our particular era of church history. God is looking for people to revere him. Well, today, believers are also indwelt by the Holy Spirit who indwells Messiah Jesus in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, so they can rely on the Holy Spirit to function in godly character to handle the harmful deficiencies of leaders. Now, I want to clarify here that just because we're filled with the Spirit doesn't turn us into the mighty God. We never become God. Okay, Jesus was God incarnate. But we are indwelt by the triune God. We're related to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when a believer is indwelt by and he's controlled by God the Holy Spirit, he will exhibit characteristics that are typical of God. That's why we call a Christian a godly Christian. He's exhibiting the characteristics of the Lord. And that's to our benefit. So the lesson is the harmful character deficiencies in the leaders of God's people would be overcome by Messiah Jesus, who would be their marvel of a counselor, their mighty God, the Father of perpetuity, and the Prince of Peace. Believers today can also overcome the effects of harmful character deficiencies in leaders by relying on the same Holy Spirit. So in order to apply this lesson, we need to be in proper relationship with the Lord. I bring this up every Sunday because it's extremely important. What happens to your soul, what happens to my soul in eternity is something that is determined by what happens in this life. We need to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior in this life before we pass into eternity. Once we go into eternity, the decisions that we've made about Christ, either positively or negatively, are locked in. They're set. And it's very important that we make that decision. You'll notice number one in the application says, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And of course, along with that gift of eternal life comes the gift of the indwelling Spirit of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you haven't made the decision to trust in Christ as your Savior, I would urge you to do so immediately, that you might have eternal life and lock that situation up before you take a chance with going into eternity without knowing the Lord. And then number two, based upon our decision for Christ, may we look forward and hope to Christ's coming messianic kingdom and rely on the Holy Spirit like Christ did in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, and we can apply it by Romans 8, 3 and 4, for the character qualities we need today to overcome the character deficiencies in our leaders today, as clarified in our conclusion section below. Even though we have leaders over us, sometimes in the government, sometimes in the medical field, sometimes in business, sadly, sometimes even in church situations, you know, that you can have failed leaders and weak leaders and problem leaders with poor character in many, many different realms. We can rely upon the Spirit of God to handle that problem. And we view scriptures on how our reliance on the Holy Spirit provides us the character qualities we need to overcome the problems that are created by the harmful character deficiencies in our leaders and that we noted in our introduction. First of all, regarding the failures of health agency leaders, we can rely on the Holy Spirit for the self-control that is needed to keep our immune system strong by way of proper diet, proper exercise, proper rest, and minimizing stress and good hygiene. There are a bunch of verses on this, Galatians 5, 16, and 22 and 23 about relying on the Spirit. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, about minimizing stress. Then Leviticus 11, 32 and 36, Deuteronomy 23, 12 through 14. Those are some practices in regards to good hygiene that are valuable for us to use even today. Also, we can minimize our need for man-made medicines that are often produced by ungodly means and often have bad side effects while boosting use of home remedies, as is taught in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. My brother one time did research on human embryonic kidney cells, 293. These kidney cells came from a baby that was forcibly aborted. And those cells are still alive today, and they're being used in 93 different experiments right now for medicines. And a lot of the vaccines that we get have been produced by means of this, so that's a constant issue. So what we recommend is stay as healthy as we can and minimize exposure to medicines, especially man-made medicines. I've had medical doctors, I've had nurses tell me, you know, if you can avoid having to take medicines, good, because of the side effects. And sometimes you have to take two or three medicines to cover the bad effects of the first medication you take. It's really a need there. Then number two, regarding the failures of leaders in the economy to rein in extensive destruction of indebtedness, relying on the Holy Spirit provides us the self-control needed to obey Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5a, to be content with what we possess, that helps us keep away from runaway debt, Proverbs 22, 7. A lot of runaway debt today is created because people feel they have to have things, and so they'll go out and just buy things, just to have things. God wants us to learn to be content with what we have. And if we do, we spend less. And if we spend less, we keep ourselves away from runaway debt. Also, heeding Christ's Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30, call to budget before spending and save what excess supplies God gives us, like John 6:12 says, equip us to avoid falling prey to runaway debt. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talked about sitting down and counting the costs before you start investing in building a building. Obviously, that's a wise thing to do. And then it's interesting, in John 6:12, after Jesus had fed the crowd of the 5,000, there were extras left over. Now, he could have multiplied just enough fishes and bread just to feed the people, but he made sure that there was enough left over. And so he told the disciples, there's a reason for those leftovers. Pick them up. We're going to need them. So they had 12 basketfuls. One basket for each of the disciples. So God wants us to save what we don't spend. And then regarding the failures of leaders in the legacy media to counter illegal immigration, relying on the Holy Spirit gives us the self-control to obey God's leading on whether we should legally relocate, where we should go, when we should go, and what we should do when we relocate. That's all in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. If you could get every person on planet Earth to obey that, there would be no such thing as illegal immigration, because God would meet needs of people and he would direct them to do things legally. There's nothing wrong in immigrating to a new country. In fact, but there's a legal way to do it and an illegal way to do it as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 also warns us to obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Illegal immigration is solved by obeying these passages. I know what I'm saying. I grew up in a third world country in Africa. My parents were missionaries there. I saw many, many people who were beggars. There were leprosariums. tremendous needs there. But it's interesting, we notice that when people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their standard of living automatically went up because they were in self-control. And the average height of the people in the country where I was in Nigeria, because of the influx of missionaries and because of dispensaries, has actually gone up between 3 to 6 inches in height because they have a better nutrition. What's made the difference? The gospel. So we can do a lot to help people even where they're at. Number four, regarding the failures of elected officials to address social ills in their districts, relying on the Holy Spirit equips us believers to obey 1 Peter chapter 2, 11-17, to relate respectably to fellow citizens and to rulers in our districts. What causes us to influence society is the grassroots, in our districts, towards law and order. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2 and 28, verse 4 talks about how a person at the grassroots level who simply obeys the law and is law-abiding has a tremendous influence on his neighbors. I've seen this happen when you go into a grocery store. Let's say the clerk there who's been chewed out by customers and she's on edge and everything. If you compliment her or you try to do something that's nice and try to help with the bagging and everything, it can change their whole day. So we can have a tremendous influence on people at the local level. Number five, regarding the failures of leaders and businesses to be strong in character, relying on the Holy Spirit equips us to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of these qualities are greatly needed in today's workplace. I talk to businessmen all the time, and I ask them, would it hurt for people in your business to have, and I named these qualities? They said, no, it'd be wonderful if we could start there. Okay? Really. It also equips us to avoid gratifying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life in worldliness, 1 John 2, verses 15-17. And that keeps us from a host of character failures at work. A lot of times problems in business come because there's a lust for money, or a lust for power, or a lust for control. It's a sin issue, and then it spills over into business. That's what we need. We need people who are right with the Lord. So may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we hope for Christ's kingdom and rely on the Holy Spirit for the character qualities we need to be a blessing in a very needy world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the fact that the wonderful character qualities that we see in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father, or Perpetual Father, the Prince of Peace, the qualities of godliness, the qualities of righteousness that were in the Lord Jesus Christ can be displayed in us as we, believers, come to know Christ as Savior, and then rely upon the indwelling Spirit of God who has given us that salvation so that we can exhibit the qualities of the Spirit of God. And what a difference it makes in our lives, in the lives of our marriages and our families, and church, as it spills over even into our neighborhoods and communities around us, the businesses where we work, and eventually even the country and even the world. And so I ask, Father, that as believers, we would come to rely upon the Spirit of God. We have this wonderful access, this wonderful source of good character in God who indwells us. And Father, I would ask that if there's anyone in our midst this morning or who may be listening by way of the MP3 recording on the internet, who as yet does not have the Spirit of God within him because he has not made the decision to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would recognize the tremendous need that they have to put their faith in Christ, that they might indeed do that, that they might see the indwelling Spirit of God come and to abide within them, that they might have the power provided by God as they live a life of faith on Him, to live a life that is transformed and transformative for the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.